Good morning, St. Louis. Welcome, welcome. It's the Home Improvement Show. You know me, Rich Orris. I'm here, sitting here for you for the next couple of hours. And we're going to be talking about one of the most important investments you will ever make, your home. Whether you're dealing with routine maintenance, planning a remodeling project, or trying to solve a problem that's been driving you crazy for months, this is the place to get some practical advice and some straightforward answers on all of that. The phone lines here, they're wide open for you. 314-436-7900 is where you're going to find me today. I'm here for you, ready to go. So give me a call with your questions. You can call about any kind of repairs, remodeling, upgrades, or anything happening around about your house. And I know every homeowner out there, we all have lists. We all have projects that we're thinking about. Maybe it's fixing a drafty room, updating a kitchen, repairing a deck, or finally getting around to the bathroom remodel you've been thinking about. Whatever is on your list, we can help you through. We can help you break it down. We can figure out some of the best next steps to get started and what should you be doing. So, like I always say, pour yourself a cup of coffee, walk around the house, start thinking about those projects you've been meaning to tackle. And I would say too, today is a great day to walk around the outside of the home. I know you're like, oh my gosh, it was just pouring down rain. It was in the rain is the best time to actually look outside, be outside, grab your umbrella, walk around. You might want to leave the coffee inside while you do that, but watch what's happening. Look at the water coming down the roof. Look at it hitting the gutter. See what's happening. Make sure nothing's overflowing. Make sure water's coming out the downspout end. If it goes into a pipe and it goes away, your cleaning process is all the way to the end of that pipe where it comes out of the ground. So walk to the end of that pipe. See if the pop-up's popping up. See if water's coming out. Take the end off. Look, this is the best time to do all of that. And then, hey, guess what? You're here. It's the Home Improvement Show on KMOX. So when you're ready, we're going to take your calls. Again, you can find me at 314-436-7900. And we do have weather pending, I guess. We have Cardinals probably going to be cutting in here a little bit later, but don't fret because I will be on once we cut out of Camo X, all the baseball fans can stick with the Cardinals and all of that. And then we'll stick with 97.1 FM. So you can jump over if you want more home improvement. If you have a question for me, same thing, same show, same topic, same conversation, same questions, same phone number, 314-436-7900. And we've last week we had some really, really good topics, some good calls come in, a lot of storm advice a little bit last week. We had Larry call in asking about some advice with his insurance adjuster and when they inspect the house for hail damage, what should he be asking about, what should he be talking about, and we kind of gave him a little bit of a rundown there on maybe what to expect and what to kind of guide them and just make sure that they're looking at everything, not just the roof. They're looking at the entire house. So, but hey, we got Karen on the line, so let's jump to the phone lines and see what's going on with Karen. Hi, Karen. Can you hear me?
How are you?
I'm great.
I can.
Perfect. Thanks for calling. How can we help?
Well, my question is, I have a leak in my basement, and it's been going on for several years, but it doesn't leak constantly. It's only during real heavy rains or rains that last a long time. We're thinking about selling, and I don't know if it's worth it to even have somebody come in and repair that.
So it really, it depends on for sure where the water is coming from. So have you been down in the basement and when the water's coming in and seeing the water kind of come in? Or do you just kind of,
yes.
Okay. So does any is any of this water coming from the top of the concrete wall and running down?
Okay, this is my assumption that it is, because that part of the wall we have drywall on. I have not taken the drywall off to look at that, but it's coming down underneath the drywall.
Okay.
And we don't have any, we have concrete floors, and it just goes right to the drain.
Okay. So, yeah, so there's basically about three places that this could be coming from if it's, you know, coming in kind of up high like that. And the third one's is down low, and with your wall and your drywall there, it probably is impossible to see for sure exactly where it's coming in, because it can come in at the top of the foundation, it could come in kind of midway, and it can come in right at the floor, and that's kind of three different issues.
Okay.
To how you kind of take care of that. If it's coming in at the very top of the foundation, then we need to look outside of the house to see what could be happening, because there's a couple conditions outside where if your landscaping is built up higher than your foundation, then that could be the source of how it's getting to the top of the foundation and running in. If it's not, and you can kind of see the foundation sticking up out of the ground, then you need to keep looking up at your siding and any windows or doors that are above this area, because that's where water could come in from the actual wall. And if the windows and doors and penetrations in the sided wall aren't flashed properly to bring water back out, that water gets in around that area, runs down the wall to the top of the foundation, and comes in that way. Now,
okay.
The middle way is you have a crack in the foundation, which is extremely common. And sometimes when you get a lot of rain, a lot of saturating rains, that crack will start letting water in through the wall, and it runs down the wall from somewhere 3/4 to 1/4 off the floor, and it runs down to the floor and starts getting everything wet. If you don't have a crack and it's not coming from a window or a door, then it's hydrostatic pressure from underneath the floor, and it's getting pushed up from the floor. And so that answer is a sump pump. The crack in the wall is fixing the crack in the wall, doing epoxy ejection, something like that, to stop that water from coming in. And then if it's over the foundation, you're either looking at doing something to the landscaping, maybe a French drain, maybe lowering, something like that, or fixing the wall windows where water comes in, and correcting that so that it stops it from coming in at the top of the foundation. So you'd be surprised how many foundation leaks are windows from above it. Yeah.
All right. We'll take the drywall down and then see where it's coming in.
Yeah. See if you got a crack. See if you could tell where it's coming from. And then the next time it's raining and it's happened, look at it and see if it's running from the top or if it's just appearing from the bottom or coming through a crack. And that'll kind of give you your guidance.
Okay.
All right.
All righty.
Perfect. Thanks, Karen. Great call, question, and definitely on a wet day like today, I'm going to be seeing a lot of that around St. Louis, and it's trying to pick, are you looking for siding flashing water management? Are you looking for landscaping? Are you looking for a foundation company? There's plenty of different ways it comes in and plenty of different ways to fix it. So, hey, we got James on the line. We're going to see if James can hold through a real quick break. We'll take our first break, and we'll get straight to you after we return. More home improvement after these messages. Don't go nowhere. All right, welcome back. Welcome back. KMOX Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here for you. And again, remember, what do you need? Anything you need. 314-436-7900 finds me right here. And we can help you through it, whether you're trying to DIY something, you got a little water coming in like Karen, or whatever's happening about around your house. Maybe you're thinking about a remodel and looking at something big like a kitchen and really struggling with how to begin. Well, let's have a conversation about that. See if we can help you out. Again, 314-436-7900. And let's jump over to James and see what's happening there. James, are you there? Can you hear me?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. I can. Thanks for calling, friend. What's going on?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm glad I called because I have two questions about water.
Okay.
And the first one is that in my own personal residence, lately we've seen a drop in the water pressure. It's a two-story house, and it seems like most of it is on the first floor, not so much the second floor. At first, I was thinking it might be the pressure regulator coming in the house, but I'm not sure. Do you know what it could be happening with this?
Well, that I would say is going to be an investigation kind of stumbler, because if I was thinking about water pressure and losing water pressure, I would guess in theory that you would lose the second floor before the first. So, and you're saying it's lower pressure on the first floor and higher pressure on the second floor. So that might kind of lead me towards, if there's some kind of clogging going on, if there's a buildup in any of the pipes from hard water, from calcium deposits, anything like that kind of happening in the lines, then I could see maybe if you use the first floor a little bit more and maybe they all kind of lean towards the kitchen and the laundry room or something like that as you're using it. And so that's what's slowing your pressure down. That could be a possibility, but yeah, I think you're going to be into some real investigation. I don't know that I would take it towards the pressure regulator, because that would kind of set the same pressure for everywhere. And so if you're seeing, and it can fluctuate. So maybe if the pressure regulator is going bad and it's fluctuating and you're only noticing it when you're on the first floor activities around then it kind of works its way. Cause I've seen them kind of where they'll work fine. And then all of a sudden it'll have low pressure for a while and it kind of springs back into place and starts working again. So it kind of works in and out. So it would take some coincidence to really have it be the pressure regulator, I think, and not notice it on the second floor, but notice it on the first floor. So I don't know that would be it, but I think maybe flushing out the water lines and flushing out the hot water tank and kind of draining everything, cleaning it out, and then filling everything back up, seeing if any calcium deposits come out of that hot water heater, then that might help be that's probably the first thing I would try to see if it makes any kind of a difference.
Now, would the expansion tank have anything to do with it or not?
I don't know that I would think not, again, just because if the expansion tank was messing anything up, I would think it would do it constantly. And basically that I again feel you'd notice it on both floors, and that's kind of where the stumble comes in. So yeah, it might just take some working through and investigating and seeing what you find and maybe taking some notes and trying to figure out what's happening when. But yeah, definitely calcium deposits can get in the pipes, can get near the shutoffs, and basically slow down the water pressure, you know. I had, when I lived in North County, my kitchen sink always would, like once a year, would start to lose water pressure because of all the calcium in the lines. And instead of replacing the water heater and instead of getting a water softener, going through everything, and it just didn't have as much funds for all that stuff back then, I basically just once a year flushed those lines out, flushed out the water heater. I actually would run water backwards from that kitchen faucet back towards the water heater, let it all flush out, clean it out, and I did that once a year, and it just kind of refreshed everything. And every time the water pressure would start to go back down in the kitchen, I'd start again. But again, it would make its way straight across to the kitchen, and it would never go to the bathrooms. So that's why I'm kind of leaning that direction.
My wife told me she did notice a drop up on the second floor also, so maybe.
Yeah. So then it could be towards that pressure regulator also.
Okay.
Yep.
And my second question is that we've been going out with my in-laws. They're looking for a home to purchase. We've been looking in St. Charles, St. Peter's, and O'Fallon, and for homes purchased like in the 90s, I mean built in the 90s and up to the 2000s. And it seems like every basement we go in, they have vertical cracks in the wall, and they did epoxy repair and also some cracking in the floors. And, you know, they put in a sump pump. Mostly everybody does that. So my question is, should they be concerned about that, or, you know, should they not worry about it since the work has been done, or what?
Yeah, so about 99% of the time, you really don't have to worry about that since the work has been done. Because cracks in the foundation walls are extremely common. You get shrinkage cracks where they put in windows through the concrete, creates like a square opening, and it causes cracks all the time off the corner of the windows from the shrinkage and that. So those cracks are usually superficial, and you do the epoxy injection just to keep water out, and then you're typically good. It's great that those homes have sump pumps, so that's you want that. It's a good thing to have. Even if it's never had to operate, there may come a day where it will, and it's a great idea to have them, and that's why they put them in all the houses now. They're just kind of, whenever they build houses, they put sump pumps in them now. So just it's easy to do it when you build. So it's a great thing to have. So I wouldn't worry about that either. That's a good thing. So I wouldn't be too concerned with it. And there are certain types of cracks that could lead you towards, you know, structural movement, maybe peering needed, all of that. But that's farther and few in between. And if you're not seeing any cracks in the drywall over the doors, if doors are operating well, if everything seems fine, it probably is fine. And most of those cracks are very superficial and not a problem at all.
So even the floor cracks, they ought to be okay, huh?
Yeah. The floor cracks, what I would watch for, the thing you can look for in floor cracks is there a height difference? So the floors will shrink as they cure. They put these strips, these little plastic strips, inside the concrete to give the floors a place to crack because they know they will. So if the cracks are straight, then they're probably meant to be there. But even if they're not all straight, it just means that it happened. And the main thing to look for is a height difference. What you want to know is the floor sinking? And that could, if it's sinking, that could lead to some other issues. So if you can run your shoe across that crack and it doesn't get caught up very much, there's not a big height difference, and you run right over that crack, then that crack in the floor is, again, a superficial crack that's not a big deal. And I can tell you, like in my house that I own right now, they didn't put the strips everywhere that they should have when they poured my basement floor. So I have like a really big crack running right across my basement. And I've been in there about 11 years at least. I've never had a problem with it. And I knew it was superficial. They just didn't put the strips in and didn't give it a place to crack properly like they should have. And I finished most of my basement and never had a problem in 10, 11 years.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Appreciate your show also.
Yeah, awesome. I appreciate the call, James. It's great, and glad I can help out. So we're going to take our middle hour break here real quick. So, hey, everybody stay tuned with us. We'll have plenty more to come. We also got Edna on the line. So if you can hold on through a quick break. We'll get to that as well as plenty more home improvement topics, questions, conversations for you right after these messages. Don't touch that dial. All right, here we are, Home Improvement Show. Got plenty of topics, conversations we can have, lots to talk about. Your topic is our topic, and that's my favorite part of this whole scenario is just kind of like my day job, running around, getting to help out, looking at houses, giving advice, seeing what we can do to help, and that's really what it's all about, and that's what this is all about. So no matter what you're up against, give me a call. Let's see if we can work it through. Let's see if we can help you and give you some great advice on that. 314-436-7900 is where and how you're going to find me right here, right now, today. We got all kinds of time. We got about a show and a half here left. So let's get over to Edna and see what's happening there. Hey, Edna, are you there?
It's okay.
Oh, you're breaking up a little bit. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. How you doing?
Oh, okay. Good, good. Thanks for taking my call. So my question is, I have a two-family. It's in this city. The building is at least over 100 years old, and I've been doing work to it. So what I'm finding out is I had a tenant to move out, and the ceiling fans are extremely dirty, like I've never seen before. And then this time I'm looking at the ductwork, and it's like, what do you do? Is that like a professional that actually have to come in and clean your ductwork out? Because it's slapped around the walls. You can tell it's got to be coming from the vent.
Mm-hmm.
The vent is at the top of the room. The vent is at the very top of the room up there, you know, almost to the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, there's no easy way to clean ductwork and to gain access to it other than a professional service, in my opinion. And you can talk to a couple of them and get some advice on what they're seeing, what they're finding, and what they would recommend and what they would charge. But definitely in something 100 years old, that's been through everything. That could have literally had coal-fired furnace. I mean, there's so much that could have happened over the years. Cleaning that ductwork would definitely be a great idea and would absolutely help out.
Because I have to change the filters quite a bit, quite a bit. And, okay, well, with that being said, I guess I just need to go on and call a professional to come in to do that.
Yes.
But I put in a new furnace on each floor. It wasn't central air. It is now central air. But I'm like, well, I put a central air in, and what's going on? So the ductwork has nothing to do with that. Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, so yeah, there's probably years and years of dust and debris and people living and kids dropping toys and who knows what inside that ductwork. And so, yeah, there's a lot of ductwork cleaning companies out there. The last time I had ductwork cleaned, we had an issue at my son's place because of the access to the ductwork in the furnace room. You couldn't get to the ductwork where those cleaning companies wanted to. So we ended up having Wellington Environmental clean the ductwork for us. And so they do that because generally they do that on a level of when your home has mold and mildew issues and they're abating and all of that. But, you know, it's kind of like I talk to people all the time about, you know, like what we do here at Mosby and using the smartest people in the right places. And that really knowing and understanding your ductwork and the cleaning of it and what they find in it, it would not be a bad idea to have one of the smartest people or companies on the block for that service and for what they're trying to see and handle in a situation like that on a smaller project. It might cost you a little more money to have a company that good do it, but they'll have a great understanding of it. So they're not so just like it's X amount per you know, it's so many dollars per vent run, and they just send in somebody that they've trained to do nothing but that and doesn't really understand anything else. So sometimes getting to someone a little bit smarter in that area isn't a bad deal, because if they see stuff and they're like, oh yeah, you've got this, you've got that, here's what I would consider, they might really be able to give you some good advice as they see it, look at it, and or do that. So it might be a good idea to put them in the mix too on thinking about getting that ductwork clean, because they could advise on that and more.
Well, thank you. Wellington Environmental is here in St. Louis, huh?
Yep, absolutely. Yep. We use them all the time for mold abatement, and I knew they did the ductwork cleaning. So when we were having the issue with my sons, that the companies were like, we just won't clean your ductwork because we can't get access to here. And I'm like, I was trying to explain to them that the ductwork is very dirty. I've seen in it. And I'm like, it's filthy. And it was kind of like what you're talking about. Like, we could see that there's stuff going on, and I can see in certain areas of it. And I'm like, can't you just clean most of it? Like, if you can't get to 10% of my ductwork, why would you neglect 100% of it? And none of them would do anything with it because of that. And Wellington Environmental was like, yeah, we'll clean everything we can get to. Why not? You know? And I'm like, yeah, no, I agree. So it's just sometimes that's a good idea.
All right. I appreciate that.
All righty. Yeah. Edna, good luck with that. And you'll be replacing that furnace filter a little less often. Probably once that's had a really good cleaning and you get all that out of 100 years out of there. That's just a great idea. And I've talked often too about, replacing. I get the question a lot, you know, how often should I replace my furnace filter? And if you look it up, most things are going to tell you, most websites and conversations are just going to say every 3 months. But kind of like Edna was mentioning, she has to do it more often because it gets dirty. And the real answer for that is, how dirty is it? Check it. If it's dirty, then change it. And if that's once a month, then you might want to consider getting your ductwork cleaned. And if it's once every 5 months, then yeah, you probably keep a really clean house. You probably don't have a lot of carpet, hardwoods, all that's going to keep the dust down in the house. So there's so many circumstances that produce it, that make this happen. And so knowing when to change that furnace filter is really, my recommendation would be, go to your furnace filter every 30 days, once a month, pull it out and look at it and just see, how dirty is it? Is it time? And if you do it religiously every 3 months and it's always dirty, maybe you need to do it every 2 months, and that would keep it cleaner. Or maybe you need to get your ductworks cleaned and do all that to make it every 4 months. So that's kind of where I would take that for sure. So we're going to get into another quick break here for everybody, but don't forget, don't fret, we'll be here. We've got plenty of show, plenty of time for everybody. I will be here for you. 314-436-7900 is absolutely how you're going to find me. So don't touch that dial. Stay tuned and call in, and let's see what you got to talk about right after this. Welcome back. Final segment of this hour, but don't be concerned, because there is a whole nother hour for you coming up. So don't forget to call in. 314-436-7900. What's happening? What do you need? What do you got going on? And I love doing this. I love kind of helping out. I do this all during the week, 5 days a week. I'm out and about, and I'm helping clients through kitchen remodels. I'm helping them through exterior projects, window and door replacements, and all sorts of great projects that really help solve some issues, but improve quality of life, improve the look of the home, the aesthetics of the home, the value of the home, and doing things really, really well is a big thing on how we work through that, how we install, how we do everything. And right now at Mosby, we have a kitchen and window sale here for the month of May. So if you remodel your kitchen with us, you will receive a free backsplash tile for your kitchen. Or if you replace the windows in your home, you can receive a free garage door as well along with that project, or just some kind of discount with it. So the offer ends May 31st. And what you need to do is check us out, get your appointment set during the month of May, and then you'll be in there. You'll be qualified. You can go to callmosby.com for all the details. You'll find it on the website, callmosby.com, or just give us a call at our office, 314-909-1800. Get that figured out, get that set up, and let's see if we can get you a free backsplash or a free garage door. I absolutely love that. I think that is so fun and so cool and who doesn't want something like that for free when you're doing your projects? And if you need new windows, you've probably been thinking about that garage door as well. Anyhow, so it's a great combination. But hey, we got Gene on the line, so let's jump in with Gene and see what is going on. Hi, Gene, are you there? Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you for taking my call. So I guess this is a drywall question, but I have an older house. I have a vaulted ceiling, and I developed a crack line down right at the vault joint. Had a drywaller come in, kind of redo it all, and it was fine for about a year, and the crack is reappearing. And when the crack happens, it can kind of get pretty wide as well. Now they're proposing that I require an expansion joint at that seam. I'm not familiar with this. Is there anything you can tell me about that?
So there is. I mean, drywall does kind of move, expand, and contract. It takes a really big area before you need to get into that. But the other thing that you could have going on helping causing that, too, is any kind of what we call truss lift. You've got the trusses that are trying to move. They're expanding and contracting. They're getting bigger and smaller as well. So that can play into that crack at the top of that vault also. So they do make, like, it's kind of metal expansion pieces that it just creates a space in between the drywall, just an open space to where that drywall can kind of move back and forth, and the space just gets a little bit smaller or a little bit bigger, but the space is always there. And where you'll see that, you'll see stuff like that a lot more in commercial settings where, like, a hospital with a 100-foot-long hallway, and if it's drywall all the way down, you might see those above a few doors because you've got, okay, you know, 100 lineal feet or something, you know, really big, long area. That's very common in a commercial setting. But we have the same issues in the residential setting. And so, like, a faux beam could cover that up and you know, get installed across it, and then you're fine. Because I don't know that the expansion will work, and it's the answer, but will you like the way it looks is what I would question.
Yeah, so you actually have to go in and trim out a portion of the drywall where they meet to lay in this expansion joint, I would assume. Is that accurate?
Yep. Yeah. Basically, you'd have to cut. The way that they are usually is you'd have to cut the drywall back, kind of install it, and it'll get nailed to the wood on both sides, and then you'd have to put drywall back, patch the drywall up to it. It's kind of like mudding up against a corner bead. It's very similar situation. Yep. So, and that will take care of it. But yeah, I'd consider, like, building a beam or a faux beam or something like that that maybe makes the room aesthetically better. And that would bring less question, too, of, like, say you went to sell the house in 5 years and people are like, what in the world is that? Why does that look that way? And the faux beam, they're going to be like, oh, that's really cool. So, opinions later matter, too.
That sounds great. Thanks for your advice. I appreciate it.
All righty. No problem. Good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. And that is something that, boy, the trust lift, the movement, they've even, I'm starting to see there's some newer codes that they're putting in with drywall installation now where they're changing how we actually want to install the drywall to help with truss lift. That's how often this is starting to happen with the type of wood we're using and how we're building homes and how trusses are put together and younger wood and all the different things that can play into having that happen. I'm starting to see in areas they're saying basically on the ceiling, the new code is you don't screw the drywall to the bottom of the truss up against a wall. You hold those screws back at least about a foot to 16 inches. And then if you think about it, it kind of makes sense because the drywall on the wall will hold that drywall up because they're going to force that up there tight and screw the drywall to the wall. But then if the truss starts to lift, you've got about 12 inches of play for that drywall to flex and not necessarily crack at that corner. So that's a new good theory that they're starting to put there. There's also little pieces you can put and mount it to the wall to where it'll help hold that drywall down. So they're starting to come up with building fixes. It's always easier to do this work. It's easier to put a sump pump in when you build a home than to get it in later after the home's built. It's easier to put a radon system in when a home is built and you can run it where you want and get rid of it. And all these things cost a little bit less. So it will cost a little bit less to do some fixes for truss lift while building rather than trying to deal with it once it's happening. And we see it quite a bit, and we've done different things with crown molding to let the crown molding kind of move with the ceiling and slide up and down the wall so that hides the cracks. So there's different ways that you can take care of some of these issues, but there's no easier or less expensive way to take care of these issues than when you're actually building the home, because these things can go in a lot quicker, a lot easier, and be planned for. And you get a 30-year mortgage, so if it adds $1,000 or $2,000, you're hardly going to notice that in that mortgage and everything. So good reason to do all this stuff up front while you're building the home. But hey, we're going to get into our hour break here, our news break, but stay with me, stay tuned. We'll be here, more home improvement right after this message.